And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is power in the prophetic word of God. Have no mistake about it. And things are happening in this world very fast, aren't they? Goodness gracious, you open up the newspapers, you go to the internet, and you know what happens in one day seems to be about the same amount of amazing things that used to happen in a whole year. We're just, everything is cascading downward on us. And I have no doubt. Of course, I don't dare name the date because Christ warned us about not naming a date for his return. But he did say we would know the signs. He did say we should look at the signs and we could discern the seasons. And I think we're in that season, friend. Without a date, I would say that it's close at hand. And God, in his graciousness and his goodness, Guess what is the amazing thing? He says in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 10, that in the last days, the carnal people of this world, the unsaved, unfortunately, they're not even going to understand what's going on. But the wise shall understand. Now, what is the wise? The wise person is one who depends on God for discernment, for knowledge. And without that knowledge, the Bible says, even God's people will perish. We turn to God. We turn to his word. Well, today we're going to be talking about a subject. And by the way, we're going to have this same subject next week because it's huge. It's gargantuan. I wish I had more adjectives. I need to get out my, is it Roget's Thesaurus and come up with a bunch of words that mean the same thing as tremendous, gargantuan, gigantic. We're going to be covering a subject that is so powerful. In fact, in a moment, I'm going to introduce my guest and I'm going to ask him why he believes this subject is so overwhelmingly important to you. But we'll let the guest address that subject. I have always loved Bible prophecy. And the Bible says that Jesus is the very spirit of prophecy. Now, I know a lot of pastors out there and they say, well, we don't really understand Bible prophecy, all those symbols. You know, beast and crowns and, you know, mystery women. I don't understand that stuff. I'm not even going to preach that. Well, that's like slapping God in the face and saying, well, you've given us so much of your Bible and prophecy, but we don't care. We're just going to let people be dumb. We're not even going to ask you what it means, Lord. Now, I think that is a travesty. And I think pastors and theologians who think like that are certainly not being led by God. If God didn't want you to know what's in the Bible, I suspect he would not have put it in there. It's there. He wants you to read it. And the interesting thing is it says there in the book of Revelation that he who reads and keeps the sayings in this book, that means put them in your mind, put them in your heart. The person that does that, the Bible says, will be blessed. I think reading any book in the Bible will mean a blessing to you. But I don't know of any other book that says, read this one and you'll be blessed. And that Jesus is the very spirit that's in this book. Oh yes, he inhabits his word. You read his word and my goodness gracious, you're one with him. This is the amazing thing then. You will be blessed by today's program. You will be blessed by next week's program because it's a two-part series. When I read Bible prophecy in the book of Revelation, which is, you might say, the penultimate or the ultimate, I'm always taken to Revelation 17. Here is a history of horror that's going to occur in the last days. And our guest is written an entire book that addresses this subject. His book is entitled Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. Now I know each of you, you wonderful listeners out there, have your own idea about what Revelation 17 has. If you've read it before, I'm going to read it very quickly to you. And maybe my guest, Edward Hendry, well, he might want to read it again to you. And that's his liberty to do so. It is so vitally important. You see, John was taken away, carried away in the spirit. Have you ever been carried away in the spirit, friends? It's a wonderful thing. And here's what he says. And while he was in the spirit, he saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy. Imagine a scarlet colored beast, a woman sitting on it. The woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet color. She was decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Now, I'm paraphrasing, and the King James is the only one I believe in. And I want you to think of the King James here. You might even want to get out your Bible if it's handy and read Revelation 17, verses 3 through 6. But it says the woman is decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. She has a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. She's riding this beast that has 7 heads and 10 horns. Boy, that gets your mind just a working. Imagine perhaps a gorgeous, voluptuous woman dressed in colors of purple and scarlet. That's some kind of a deep red, isn't it? And she has this golden cup in her hand. She's a very wealthy woman. She's got all these jewels decked with gold. But she has a name on her forehead, and it's written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And John says, he says, and I saw the woman drunken. Boy, and get this. This sends chills down your back. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. He wondered, who is that? What can that be? It was a marvel. And there was even great admiration. I suspect that was a begrudging admiration. And as I've always said, you know, you've got to give even the devil his due. I mean, there is, unfortunately, and it's why it's so alluring, there is a seemingly beautiful side of evil. You get into it, you know, then that it's rotten, it's wormy, it's terrible, it's terrifying. But on the surface, it looks so beautiful, so much so that certainly the world admires it. And even we as Christians would say, my goodness, how incredible is that? Well, my guest today is Edward Hendry. He's author of this magnificent new book that must have taken a long time to research and write. I've talked to Edward Hendry several times now. We've communicated also by email. I believe he really is a wonderful Christian man, and he cares about this subject, and God has put it on his heart. The subtitle is quite interesting. It's subtitled, Tracking the Beast from the Synagogue to the Vatican. Now, what could that mean? Tracking the beast from the synagogue to the Vatican? Does that whole, is that the solution to this mystery? Babylon the Great? Edward Hendry, quickly, he doesn't brag much about himself, but I'll brag for him. I'll toot his horn a bit. He's a very successful attorney, a lawyer. He's a Christian researcher. This is one of 4 books he's written. He's even written one about 9/11. And I don't think we're going to have time to talk about it. Maybe at a later time, his book on what really happened at 9/11. He's a sort of a hard-minded guy. I say that. You're not going to deceive this guy. You're not going to fool him because he looks at the evidence. He's an expert on the evidence. And let me also say this to you. You may be shocked when we get into this, but he was raised as a Catholic in Roman Catholic schools, I suppose by nuns and priests and such. And then he went to, maybe because of their football fame and such, the most prestigious university, although it has great academic accolades toward it as well, the University of Notre Dame. I've been there. They didn't invite me to speak there, but I was there just to visit there in South Bend, Indiana. In fact, I was on a Christian television program in South Bend. University of Notre Dame, though, everybody knows that is the Catholic school in America. And then he went on to another Catholic university in Detroit, Michigan, University of Detroit, and got his law degree. And that is a Jesuit school. So here we have a Jesuit-trained lawyer raised as a Roman Catholic, and he's written a book, and when you find out what the subject matter is, your jaw will probably drop. Edward Henry, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Well, thank you, Tex. It's good to be here.
You know, this book, it's a huge book. It's I call it large format because it's about the size, just the physical size of two regular books, and it's 380 pages approximately, maybe a few less, 380 pages or so, which would make it about 700 pages if it was a normal size book, a huge encyclopedic book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. I guess what people would really like to know is what caused you, a man of your accomplishments in the world, your education, what caused you, what compelled you to write a book like this?
Well, I was saved a little over 20 years ago. And by the grace of God, I was born again. And one of the many prayers that I said and asked of God was for wisdom, that I understood that there was much deception in the world, and I asked him for wisdom, and he has blessed me with that. I take no credit for really this book or any of my accomplishments. It's all by virtue of Jesus having chosen me and saved me. And the reason that I wrote this book, and this goes back more than 10 years ago, it seemed that there wasn't much information about the Roman Catholic Church. Because once I was saved, I had a real thirst to read the Bible. And as I read the Bible, as I'm turning the pages, and on every page, I saw that that what Christ preached in the gospel is diametrically opposed to what the Roman Catholic Church has as its doctrine. And I saw that page after page, and my eyes were opened, and at the time I was saved, I didn't understand that only until I read God's Word. But there was nothing, it seemed, out there as a resource for people to look to find and compare the Bible to Roman Catholic doctrine. It just seemed that there wasn't anything out there. So I decided to do that, to put together a book that compared biblical doctrine with Roman Catholic doctrine to show the error of the Roman Catholic Church. Well, in my research in doing that, I wrote a book called Antichrist Conspiracy, which began initially as a project to do that. However, as I started researching and looking and digging deeper into the doctrine of the Catholic Church and researching the history of the Catholic Church, I kept bumping into what was a grander conspiracy, a worldwide conspiracy, a conspiracy against man and God. And there seemed to be tentacles that were flowing from the Catholic Church to other organizations that were the Zionist Antichrist organizations. And as I continued, and if you could think of an analogy, peeling the layers of the onion and going deeper and deeper, as I continued to research, I kept bumping into the influence of the Jews within the Roman Catholic Church. It seemed that as you went back in history, it became clearer and clearer that, in fact, the Roman Catholic Church was founded by a group of early Jews who inculcated the Catholic Church with their Babylonian religious doctrine, and that basically the Catholic Church is a Gentile front for a Judaic Babylonian religion. It is today controlled by the Jews, primarily through their another Gentile front, the Jesuits. The Jesuits were founded by Jews, again, as a Gentile front. It became a Catholic priestly order, and many have focused on the Jesuit priesthood and some of the things that they've done throughout history, because they are notorious for their conspiratorial conduct. But what most don't understand is they are a continuation of the Jewish Illuminati. And, you know, this Illuminati goes back to the time of Christ. And the when Jesus talked to the Jews, the Pharisees, the chief priests, and he was so critical of them, saying things like, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do," he wasn't speaking, that was not hyperbole. He was revealing to us in his word the nature of their doctrine and the nature of their conduct. And in fact, if you read the New Testament, how they brought about the crucifixion of Christ was, again, the way they conduct themselves even today. It is sort of a microcosm in a few pages of the New Testament explained clearly what is happening today. They meet in secret. They plan out what they're going to do. They then get the political elements of governments that are titularly Gentile to do the dirty work. And this is the book focuses on the core of this conspiracy. And it gets right to the headquarters, if you will, of Satan. There is a devil. His name is Satan. He has been defeated by Christ, but he is at war with the followers of Christ. He's in a rage. And God, who is the author of both the Old and New Testament, has made it clear that this conspiracy is in control of the governments. If you'll notice in Romans 17, the great harlot is riding the beast. That is, when you ride a horse, you control that horse. When you ride any beast, you control that beast. And so this conspiracy is controlling the beast and this beast with seven heads and ten horns, it are the heathen governments of the world.
It does say that there are ten kings, and that they give all of their power unto the beast.
Yes.
So, and of course, doesn't it also say that this woman and the beast dominate or control all the people, as its kindreds and tongues, meaning languages and nations? Mm-hmm. So basically, as you said, this is a new world order conspiracy.
Yeah, and the deception, you see, is so effective. It's as though the world is drunk, and that's the word. Those are the words that God uses. The deception is it's you know how easy it is to deceive somebody if they're intoxicated. They're out of their minds.
Mm.
They don't know which way to walk. They don't know how to walk straight. And this religious deception is as though the world is drunk. You see,
mm.
And the it's easy when the devil uses his spiritual methods to intoxicate the governments and the peoples of the world so that they don't see what's going on. Now, Christians who are given knowledge can see it clearly. They can cut straight through it because a Christian, a born-again Christian, has the unction of the Holy Spirit. And that is why the war is with the Christians.
Well, Ed, although Christians are the main enemy, it's not only the Christians that are going to suffer. Isn't it just the entire population of the world?
That's right. That's right. Even the followers, you know, within the Roman Catholic Church and within Judaism, are as much victims as Christians. They are cannon fodder, really, in a spiritual war that has been won by Christ. The most Jews and most Catholics don't really understand the nature of their own religion, interestingly enough. And I say that by virtue of my research and my own personal experience. They are kept in ignorance to a great extent. And much has been done by both Jews and Catholic, and the Catholic hierarchy, Jewish hierarchy, to shield their adherence from the truth. I can remember one time when I was early on as a Christian. I was flying somewhere. I was in an airport, and I had joined the Gideons. And we have these little New Testaments that Gideons would pass out, and I would always have New Testaments with me, and I would hand them out. And a child came by, and he was probably, maybe 10 years old, 11 years old. I gave him a New Testament, and he went back to his father, who was dressed in an outfit that clearly identified him as an Hasidic Jew, with the hat and so forth, and he was wearing black. I saw him scolding his child when his child showed him what he had received, and it was interesting that they do not allow the Jewish hierarchy do not allow the Jews to be exposed to the New Testament. They do not want any preaching of the gospel to the Jewish adherents. They view that as a threat to their religion, as does the Catholic Church. If you know the history of the Catholic Church, you know that throughout their history, they have tried to prevent the gospel from reaching those that are within the Catholic Church. They will allow their Catholic catechism, but even today, when you see people going into the Catholic Church, they do not carry a copy of the Bible. They carry what is known as a missal, which is a guide to the ritual that they go through during their mass, the ceremonial mass, but they have selected Bible readings during that mass, but that's just a front. That's in order to deceive those that are in the Catholic religion into thinking that they are really Christian when in fact they're not. And we can talk more specifically about that as we continue our discussion. But the key here is that you have children of the Spirit, and then you have children of the flesh, and those are how the battle lines are drawn. And the children of the flesh, okay, their kingdom is of this world. And it's in 1 Timothy, the Bible states that the love of money is the root of all evil. Again, that is not hyperbole. These children of the flesh love money. That is the source of their power. And if you look throughout the history of the Jews and the Catholic Church, but particularly the Jewish religion, they practice usury, which is charging interest on loans. And that really is the source of their power. And if you look at how it is they're able to accomplish that, it is so deceptive. It's almost like magic. Not one in 100 truly understands how this economy works and why we have so many problems in the economy until it's explained to them, until the practice of usury is explained. Now, most people think they know how it's done, but they understand is, oh, yeah, you have to pay a little extra on the money. Well, it's actually a little deeper than that, and we can get into that if you wish.
You know, it's interesting. As I read your book, and I read it twice already and several parts more than once, Ed, so I highly commend the book. But as I read it then, and what you're saying to us is you really have two great spiritual elements here, or forces. You've got the synagogue of Satan, the Jews. You've got the Vatican, which is a billion plus in its fold, most of them totally ignorant of what really goes on. But the papacy, the Vatican, the Jews and their synagogue of Satan, and then what you have just said binds up money, combines the love of money with these two spiritual forces and brings it all together. So you've got spiritual or satanic power of the soul that destroys men's souls, and then you bring in the money that lures people in as well. Is that why the woman, the whore that rides the beast in Revelation 17, she's got all these jewels and diamonds and pearls, symbols of money? Is that the reason that she appears to be so powerful in the money department?
Oh, sure. She's acquired great, great wealth. And it's by the deception. She has made the world drunk through her fornication. It is let me just illustrate the point as to what's happening in the world today. For instance, take the Federal Reserve. Okay, when the Federal Reserve Act was passed, it was presented to the American people, and most people viewed it as a government-run entity. When in fact, the Federal Reserve is a private corporation. Most people don't understand that. They see their money, and they see Federal Reserve notes. But that money is actually being issued by a private corporation.
Ed, let's hold on just a minute. Right. We're going to take a quick break here. We're running out of time on this side. But hold that thought. When we come back, I want to ask you more about the Federal Reserve money. And maybe what are its connections to the synagogue of Satan in the Vatican, okay?
Okay.
All right, my friend. You're listening to Edward Henry. He's my guest today. I'm Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. We've got a lot to go in tracking the beast from the synagogue to the Vatican, solving the mystery of Babylon the Great. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. You know, hold a book in my hand here called Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. For, 1900 years plus, many people have wondered, what is the meaning of the imagery of Revelation 17? The great mother of harlots riding this beast with seven heads and ten horns. She has such wealth. She's got all this gold She's decked with jewelry, gems, pearls. But she has great power, and she's actually dominating the beast at first and, I guess, telling it where to go and what to do. As far as the beast, it's a world empire. And this appears to be the beast that Daniel says is the fourth beast kingdom that comes upon the earth and devours the whole earth. I mean, we're talking about prophecy here being fulfilled. And I'm going to be asking our guest, and I think you'll find out from reading his book, that all these things are happening really right now, but we don't even know it's going on. But he unravels them. And so much documentation, so many footnotes and references. And he takes you through the Jewish Kabbalah, the system of magic, through the Talmud, their most holy book of the Jews. What do the Jews really believe in? What is their religion all about? Did Jesus tell the truth when he told the Jews, the religious Jews, you are of your father, the devil? Is that so? Because many Christians don't believe it. 9 out of 10 Christians, when I ask them the question, did Jesus ever say that the Jews' religion was of the devil? They say, well, no. That's impossible, Tex. Why, the Jews' religion is the Old Testament. What's wrong with the Old Testament? Don't say that about the Jews. God will punish you, Tex, for even criticizing the Jews. Is that true? Well, you need to discover the truth. This is the most fantastic book. You're going to find out really what the Vatican believes in. You're going to find out what the Jews really believe. And then the most amazing thing, you're going to be taken all the way back to Babylon. In fact, beyond Babylon in this book, you'll find out the Babylon connection to the synagogue of Satan, the Babylon connection to the Vatican and Roman Catholicism. And you'll find out it's one big unholy satanic mess. And this is the first book ever to reveal both the evil of the synagogue of Satan and the evil of the Pope, the Vatican, and the entire Vatican organization. Even the Jesuit order. I can't tell you how many hundreds of letters I've gotten from people. Text, tell us about the Jesuits. Are they really as evil as some say? Well, now you have a book. You have a tremendous encyclopedic book. It will tell you what the Jesuits are up to. Are they part of the Vatican? Is there such a thing as the Black Pope? All of it in this book. Learn about the Jesuits. Discover the secrets of the synagogue of Satan. Unmask. Pull off the mask of the Pope and the Vatican. All in one great book that ultimately takes you to what else but the Word of God, the prophetic Word of God. And who is this book researched and written by? Who could be more qualified than an attorney? He's got an attorney's mind, successful attorney, who was inspired by God, who actually graduated and got a law degree from a Jesuit university. He said, wait just a minute. What's more important to me is Jesus Christ and the truth. The problem for Satan was that Edward Henry read God's word. When you read what God said and you compare it to the deviltry that you were taught in these Catholic schools, if the Holy Spirit draws you, then your eyes are opened. Your ignorance leaves you. You become wise, not in the rudiments of the world, the Bible says, but in the things of God. And I think that's the reason for this book. And Ed Henry, you heard his words. He said God deserves credit for this book. Now, the name on it is Edward Henry. In fact, I was very privileged to write the foreword for this book. But make no mistake, this book contains the Word of God. And I'm talking about the actual words. And what Edward Henry, this attorney, this magnificent researcher does is show you how what's going on in the world relates back to what God said and how that is tied up with the love of money, which the Bible says is the root of all evil, and the Babylonian mystery religion system. It's back, dear friends. It never left us. And now we have two great systems of evil, the synagogue of Satan, the Vatican that's full of evil, and they're working hand in glove. And you've never been told this before. Oh, I've talked about it a little bit. I've stressed it some, but not ever in this depth. So yes, of course, God helped Edward Henry. But I want to give Edward Henry credit. A lot of men would have shrunk away. They would have said, Lord, don't call on me. Don't ask me to write this book. There's dangers. There's risk. I don't want to have to put up with confronting the evil forces. I've got a family. I've got a career. Lord, I can't take it. Give this job to somebody else. I'm going to ask Edward Henry why he chose to do what he did. I'm going to tell you right now, I think Edward Henry's life could be on the line. You say, well, that's being dramatic, Tex. Folks, I know what I'm talking about. There are people that are dead who have published a lot less than what is revealed in this book. Okay, now listen to me. I want you to have this book. I want you to order two copies of it. If you don't believe it is as important as I tell you, order one. Then turn around and order the second one. But do order one copy, at least, of this book. I hope you'll order a copy for your pastor. He's probably mixed up. He's confused. He's a Zionist. He thinks Israel should be put on the throne. He thinks the Jews ought to be idolized. Well, he's wrong. But you need this book for evidence. Give him a copy. And dare I say this? When you go to work, when you're driving around, do you pass Catholic churches? I bet you do. I do. I pass right by them, a big Catholic church. You might want to buy a copy. Go in, sit down, give it to the priest. Give it to the priest secretary and say, I have a gift for the priest. Put a little note on it and say, you know, Reverend, don't call him Father. The Bible says don't do that. But say, if you'd like to talk to me about this book, here's my phone number. You might change his life. You say, no, I doubt it, Tex. They'll scoff at me. They'll laugh at me. Listen to me. If Edward Henry was brave enough to write this book and publish it, the least you can do is tell people about it. All right? Are you not an evangelist? Did God not say in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus say, in fact, go ye in all the world? Well, one of the things we're to do, Paul said, we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. Unfortunately, there's a lot of ignorant people. You can enlighten them. To use a word, and why should we let the other side, the evil side, have it? You can bring some illumination to the world, some light, because Jesus is the light of the world. Hey, I'm not going to let the devil have words like light, illuminate, enlighten. Those are of God. He's the darkness. But you need proof, evidence. Now you have it. So many people have asked me about this. Some of you have said, I think it's a Catholic church. Others have said, I think it's a synagogue of Satan. Whoever suspected that it would be both, that evil would be brought together. And not only that, it would be combined with the money powers of this world and the spiritual wickedness of Babylon. Wow. One book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. Now, folks, it's such a huge book. And even the postage cost a lot. Here's what I want you to do. For your gift of $25 to the ministry, $25, and please add $5 shipping and handling for each copy, $30. Now, I've already told you it's twice as big as a normal book. In a bookstore, I guess this would be even more. In fact, I think the retail price of it is more than that. But we're asking you for $25 gift. Now, if you can afford it, give more than that. And we can keep this message going across the world in print on our powerofprophecy.com website and here on our worldwide radio program on WWCR, American Voice Network, and, of course, on powerofprophecy.com 24/7, 7 days a week. Here's how to get your copy of this book. If you want to go to the Internet, you can use your PayPal and your charge card, and that's powerofprophecy.com. Again, $30 postpaid. We have plenty of copies right now, and if not, I know Brother Edward Henry will get us printed some more, and I suspect we're going to have a lot more. But we have enough in right now, and in fact, we just put it online, and we've already got an order or so for it, and I think we're going to get many more this coming week. Again, the book is about Mystery Babylon the Great. You can just say, I want the Mystery Babylon book. We'll know what you're talking about. or I want the book by Ed Hendry. That's H-E-N, like the hen, D-R-I-E, Hendry, Edward Hendry, foreword by Tex Mars. Again, $30 postpaid. Powerofprophecy.com. You can order it right now. It's right there on the homepage. Just click onto it and follow directions. Or you can phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673. And simply ask the friendly receptionist for the book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. Or say, I want the Babylon the Great book. Okay, Babylon the Great book. It's fresh out. I mean, we've only had it a few days here. This is a brand new book. Nice, shiny cover and all. You need this book. An amazing book. You'll learn about the Kabbalah. You'll learn about the Talmud. You'll learn about the synagogue of Satan and the Vatican and the Jesuits. All in one great package. $30 postpaid. Our address, you can order the book by writing to us. Let's put a little note in, a little stick-it note or something, or scratch paper. Or, hey, you can even use nice stationery. It's up to you. And say, Tex, send me that book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. And I can promise you this, within just a couple of days, we move very fast, we'll send it to you. If it's a little slow getting to you, we'll blame the post office. Because we love to get materials to you, okay? We work very hard at it. Sometimes we work late. We've worked weekends before just to serve you. That's what we do. We serve you. We're here as your ministry under the command of God. I'm an old Air Force guy. I like being under the command of God. My commander in chief, so to speak. But at the same time, I serve you, the soldier out in the field. Or maybe you're flying. I don't know. I was an Air Force guy, you know. Again, the book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. Call us, 1-800-234-9673. That's Monday through Friday, Central Time, 8 to 5:30. Oh, the address. Jerry says, text, you forgot the address. I'm always forgetting something. I don't think it's because I'm getting old. Do you, Jerry? You don't think so? Oh, I think Jerry's just being nice. I think it is. Every once in a while, I have a senior moment. Our address, of course, is Power of Prophecy, or write to Tex Mars, 1708-1708, Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road. We've been here about 14, 15 years. We might just stay here till Jesus comes. I don't know when that'll be, but probably will. Again, Patterson Road, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, USA. And now let's return. My guest, Edward Hendry, his brand new book, outstanding book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. Ed, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
You know, before we go a little bit deeper into the money situation and what the synagogue of Satan and the Vatican have to do with the money systems of this world, the Federal Reserve and so forth, I want to ask you again about your background, being raised a Catholic, going to the University of Notre Dame, and then, of course, going to a Jesuit school for your law degree. How much stress, how much distress did you go through in really accepting Jesus and becoming a born-again Christian and then leaving the Catholic faith? You're an ex-Catholic. How did that feel? What went through your mind and heart?
Well, actually, it was the working of Christ, and the process was itself, once my eyes were open and the scales fell, and I realized what it was that the Roman Catholic Church was, I cut ties with those institutions. Whereas prior to that, I was an avid Notre Dame supporter. And in fact, when I was attending school there, we won the national football championship. And so it was a very exciting time to go to school there. That was the school for me, anyway, as a Roman Catholic to attend in the United States. And, having gone there, I mean, I lived in Soren Hall, which is one of the oldest, in fact, I think it is the oldest dorm hall in the United States with separate rooms. I would get up in the morning and look out my window and see the Golden Dome right there. And so when reflecting on that, I view it, that is all done. It's in my past. While, you know, just as John said, when he saw the woman, he wondered with great admiration. Well, as a Roman Catholic, I would look at the Golden Dome and I would look at the surroundings and I wondered with great admiration. But upon being saved, that is something that, you know, Christ put in my heart that I'm to follow him. And, you know, it was, you know, it's something that I've kind of put in the past. So.
Well, how about your career? Because obviously, I mean, the Catholic Church has a lot to offer. I'm not saying you would get a job immediately with them, but, you know, it's a nice thing. I'm sure there are a lot of law firms that someday you might have wanted to work for or something that, you know, that are run by Catholics. The Jesuits have quite, you know, a lot of people in law. So you're really sacrificing even there by cutting off, the papacy and the Catholic Church, weren't you?
Well, it, you know, the, it would only be a matter of if the firm would know what my stance would be. Most firms, law firms anyway, unless they're, you know, Jewish or they, or they're Roman Catholic in a very overt fashion, they wouldn't really know, you know, what my feelings were one way or the other, unless of course they now 20 years later have, you know, with my book.
So you, in other words, if there's a huge law firm out there, you don't expect to be offered a job as a partner there if the current managing partners are Jesuits, right? After having written Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great.
If they knew about my book, I think that would pretty much, that would not be likely.
Well, how about your parents? Was your dad, your mom, what did they think about your leaving the Catholic Church?
Well, that's interesting. They don't agree with it. And as much as I try to reason with them, they are staunch Roman Catholic, even to this day. So it's been difficult. I share the gospel with them. I pray with regard to them. But they are blinded to the truth of the gospel.
What if I were to tell you, well, Ed, you probably should have stayed. I'm just being the devil's advocate, which I don't really like to do, but I will be it this time. You could have stayed with them. Look at all the good works that you could have done in the Catholic Church. I mean, and God would have really rewarded you. You might not have had to go through purgatory very long because of these good works that you're going to do if you had just stayed with the Roman Church. What would be your response?
Well, that's like telling a gambler who has a losing hand, just keep putting more money in, because look at all the money you've already put in. Mm. But it's a losing hand.
Oh.
The Roman Catholic Church has given people a losing hand. It is not true. They're being told that they have a winning hand. They're being told that, in fact, all they have to do is, you know, go through some purgation of their sins in purgatory, but it's not true. There's no such thing as purgatory. There is heaven and there is hell. There is salvation. There's damnation. There is no middle ground. And you know, there's the truth, and then there's deception. The deception is very effective because of the spiritual aspect of it. The unseen spiritual world that is being impressed upon the Roman Catholics and really the Jews to deceive them, and this book really is in great part a way of reaching Roman Catholics and Jews, because there are many who have been chosen by God for salvation. I don't know who they are, but just because they're Jews today or they're Roman Catholics today doesn't mean that that's what they will be tomorrow. And our obligation is to spread the gospel, spread the seed. If it falls on good ground, then and it germinates and springs into salvation, then that is according to God's will. But our obligation is to see that it gets out there. It's my hope that Jews and Catholics do read this book, because then their eyes will be opened. They really have been deceived by the hierarchy of their respective religions as to the deception that's going on. And it's the deception is very seductive, because it's so powerful. I mean, they have such great, not only religious, but political power in this world. You know, and you made a very good point early on that Judaism is not the religion of the Old Testament. Okay? You know, it's based on Babylonian traditions, and they're codified in the Talmud and the Kabbalah. Well, those traditions, okay, have been the basis for the Roman Catholic Church. And so if people viewed Judaism as the religion of the Old Testament, as what they read in the Old Testament, they would think that this book in some way was persecuting the Jews. Well, in fact, it's revealing the very truths that Jesus reveals in the New Testament. And that is, it's not the religion of the Old Testament. It is a Babylonian religion. They have replaced God's laws with man's traditions, the very thing that Jesus criticized them for. And so their source of power, as I was talking about earlier, is usury. And just as when Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple, which, by the way, he had to do on more than one occasion, that's what we're faced with here today. They have a virtual lock on the economy, okay, because of their control of money. And as I was indicating earlier, with regard to the Federal Reserve, the Federal Reserve pays for the paper, and they pay for the ink, and the government printing presses print the dollars. But what happens is, when the federal government runs a deficit, by law, they must borrow the money from the Federal Reserve. Well, the interesting thing is, the Federal Reserve, okay, doesn't have money to loan the government. What happens is, the government supplies the money as soon as it borrows it. So the money comes into existence upon the government borrowing the money. And so the Federal Reserve gets enriched. Let's say that the federal government runs a deficit of $800 billion. Well, on the day it borrows that $800 billion, the Federal Reserve makes that, well, it's actually done by computer transactions, so it's, but I'm trying to simplify it with, if you can visualize it. Let's say I were the Federal Reserve, and you were the federal government, and you wanted to spend $20 that you didn't have. Well, or let's make it $100. You would then come to the Federal Reserve. You would hand me the $100. I would hand it back to you, okay, and then you would be able to spend it. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like a proper transaction, because you have to have the $100 before I, and then give it to me and I give it back to you. That's basically what's happening. The federal government, when it borrows money, it's actually borrowing money. It's exchanging Treasury notes for Federal Reserve notes. It then spends the Federal Reserve notes. The Federal Reserve notes are notes that do not bear any interest. They are a debt obligation. The Treasury notes are also debt obligations, but they bear interest. So at the end of the transaction, the Federal Reserve has a document, a Treasury note, which in fact gives it the benefit of interest, when in fact before the transaction they had nothing.
Well, why doesn't the, now I'm again being the devil's advocate here, but why doesn't the government just print the money on its own? Why does it need the Fed? If it's got to pay interest on its own money, why don't they just cut out the Fed and say, we're going to print our own money from the Treasury?
They could absolutely do that. They could absolutely do that. That's what Lincoln did. And purportedly, that's what John F. Kennedy did before he was assassinated. And they could do that. If you look at the history, that's exactly what Lincoln did during the Civil War. They wanted to charge him upwards of 20% to 30% interest on loans, and he decided no. I'm just going to print what were known as then Lincoln greenbacks.
And that worked.
And it worked. Okay? Now, you can argue the constitutionality of it, but clearly the Federal Reserve is unconstitutional. In fact, I'll go one step further. I will tell you that Federal Reserve notes are actually counterfeit. It's legal counterfeit. They passed laws to make it legal, but it's legal counterfeiting because what the Federal Reserve note is a debt obligation. It's supposed to be an obligation. A note is a debt obligation that purports to pay the person who has that note something of value. And in the old days, it used to say pay to the bearer so many dollars of gold and so many dollars of silver.
Oh, yes, I remember those. When I was a kid, that's the only kind of bills that you had. I'd never heard of Federal Reserve notes.
Yeah, well, now they've taken off the obligation. And so now what you have is you have a note that has no payment provision. And so it just simply says that this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, which means that you can give it to somebody and they can receive it, but you get nothing of value for it. If you go to the bank and say, I want gold coins or I want silver coins, they will simply, they won't have anything to give you.
Now, here's a question I ask you. We only got a couple of more minutes. Again, we're going to have another program going even deeper in all these things next week. But what has the money system got to do with the synagogue of Satan or the Vatican? How are all these connected together?
Well, first of all, if you step back, the Federal Reserve is run for the most part by foreigners, and those foreigners happen to be Zionist Jews. Okay, those are the same Zionist Jews who control the Vatican. They are also the bankers for the Vatican. He who pays the piper calls the tune. These are international bankers. So their scope is international. The Federal Reserve is simply the central bank for the United States, and it is run by these Zionist Jews. Okay, the turmoil that we see throughout the world. Just think, if you could print money, in other words, there's nothing you could not do. And if you go back to the concept in 1 Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. If you had an unlimited source of money, you could do unlimited evil. See? And these are spiritual realities. The control of the government. Remember, Mystery Babylon, okay, is riding the beast. She controls the beast, okay? And part of that control is through the monetary system.
So that no man can buy or sell? Wow. I see that. We're going back to the Revelation again. No person can buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name or the number of the beast. I'm going to ask you about that next week, Ed Henry. Well, listen, Ed, we're running out of time this program. It's been a great thing to have you as my guest today. I want to tell you how much I appreciate your boldness, your bravery, but most of all, your faithfulness to the Lord in researching and writing this great book.
Thank you.
All right. Ed Henry has been our guest. Edward Henry, author of the brand new book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. Next week, we're going to talk about the synagogue of Satan being the banker for the Vatican. Is the Vatican in the pocket of the world Zionist money men? What's really going on behind the scenes? How is it going to affect your pocketbook, America, your family, and maybe even your life? This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. And my prayer, my fervent prayer and wish is that you will join us each week and discover the power of prophecy.